there. Hi, afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's kind of one of those summery June days. Hope you guys have had a great weekend. And welcome back. Welcome back to the 50-Minute Rep. Hey, Cynthia, how are you doing this afternoon? It's good to see everybody, though, this afternoon. I hope you've had a great weekend. I hope your week started off really, really well today. And I actually have a word. It took me a while to get on today. Hey, Susan. Good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, it took me a while. I had some stuff happen today, and not bad. Everything really, really good, actually, but just hiccups. A little few hiccups there. Hope your day's gone a little bit better than mine, but going to be ending really, really well. I'm going to get this word out to you, and then I'm going to get on about my business today, get you about your father's business. But I've got a word. I got a word for you. 15-minute rev title today is called The Demon of Hecate, Fighting for Freedom, The Josephs Rising Up Against Witchcraft. Ooh, yeah. So let me repeat it. The Demon of Hecate. I'm telling you this so that you can bind this spirit, okay? You need to be binding the Demon of Hecate. It's being released against intercessors. And now, Cynthia, can you also pray against witchcraft coming at me too, please? Fighting for freedom and Josephs against witchcraft. God's raising up the Josephs in this hour against the witchcraft. Thank you so much. So you know, I don't know about many of you. I don't know if you realize this or not, but some of you front runners are Josephs. You understand that? And given that you're Josephs, if you know anything about Joseph, remember I've told you for like the last year and a half, God is raising up the Josephs and the front runners because the Josephs were the one that have gone through all the testing the last 30 years and all the fiery testings of God to prepare you for the times that you're now walking in. Okay, you understand that? So let's identify that first, and then I'm going to walk you frontward into where God's taking us. So the Josephs have been prepared by God to purify them so he could learn to rule and reign. But why did God choose a Joseph? Especially when we're fixing to talk about Elijah. I'll get into that here in a second. It's going to be interesting. So we're learning to rule and reign with Christ in heavenly places, correct? We're learning to rule and reign. We're learning to take our authority through Christ. We're learning to find out about a dominion authority. We're learning about who we are and whose we are. That's the new place we're stepping into right now. But the difference is from, hey, James, it's so good to see you. It's a blessing to see you. But as opposed to any other time we've ever been alive, there are a lot of different folks coming on the scene. God's doing a new move right now in this hour, and he's raising up a new people group. And the people group that he's raising up are the prodigals. The prodigals, believe it or not. The prodigals are the Josephs. They're the Josephs. It's always a blessing to see you, Mr. Cravino. So Joseph knew, even when he was going through unbelievable testing, how many of you feel like you've been through some unbelievable testings where you've wondered to yourself, why has my life been like this? And why do I not see anybody else going through what I'm going through? How many of you felt like that? I know I've felt like that a few times in my life, you know, and I literally had to stop and wonder and ask the Lord. I was like, you know, God, none of this makes sense to me. I don't see anybody else going through what I'm going through. And then God started connecting me with people like myself, my tribe, connecting me with other front runners and other Josephs and people that have been through the same hellacious testings that I've gone through. And it's been not just for maybe 30 years. It's been usually all your life. You've been being prepared for such a time as this. So like Joseph, who knew he wasn't of this world, but he still knew during those hard testing times, he had to overcome even during the midst of difficulty. He knew he still had to overcome. And so, you know, it's interesting this morning, the reality hit me that for us Josephs, who have been, by the way, given a double portion, you know, you're given double for your trouble, but in order to get the double, you got to go through a few things, if I can talk. Seriously, though, you have to go through a few things. And so, Hey, BP. So God's allowed a few of us to go through a few things. And, you know, even though you felt like you've been held back all your lives through circumstances beyond your control, or that, you know, that you've had to fight through situations with the demonic beyond your control, the Lord says, I've lifted you up for such a time as this, and I'm trying to teach you in this hour what the cause is. What's the cause behind what you've been fighting? Because you have no idea how big your calling is. I'm fixing to tell you. The cause is witchcraft. Witchcraft, that is the new enemy of the hour. We've seen it in the church. We're seeing it on all seven mountains. We're seeing it in government. But it's that place where witches and Satanists, I don't know if you knew this or not, a lot of them, you've probably been targeted by these people because they saw the double portion anointing on your vessel. So they created these things to illegally hijack our vessels used with spiritual vampirism. That's called an illegal tag lock connection, by the way. I'm hitting you with some words that you may not have heard of before, but I'll explain it. A tag lock connection is done through a spell where they connect to your vessel and they siphon. It's called spiritual siphoning. They siphon off the anointing off your life because they have no power. These people have no power. They do it through scrying, S-C-R-R-Y-I-N-G, scrying on the tree of life on various trees. You're a tree in the Bible. Their vessels are trees, even though they're evil. But they do it through these illegal taglock connections to try to connect to power. But they want to use the power for evil. How do they do that? I told you a little bit about it on Friday, where they use hexes, vexes, chants, spells, voodoo, hoodoo, roots, potion spells, incantations, red, white, and black magic, evil altars, cauldrons, poppets, voodoo dolls, evil tongues, demonic realities, cloaks and arrows. But they do it with the Bible, the scriptures in the Bible. Can y'all hear me okay over here, by the way? It doesn't seem like it's flowing very fast. Can y'all hear me okay? Can somebody pop it up in the comments section for me over here? Put it up over here. Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm just trying to see if the stream keys are flowing correctly. So anyway, they use it. They use witchcraft spells with the word of God, frontwards, backwards, layered, structured, written, or spoken. And then they mix that with magical laws out of their spell books. And they start perverting the word of God because they have no power. But they really, if they really want to amp up their power, they connect to people with the double portion. That's what they're looking for in this hour. They're looking for power. That's why they conjure ancestral spirits. They conjure demons. That's why, what else do they conjure? LHS is, if you ever studied Ron Horner stuff, they conjure the ancestral spirits because of the mantles and the giftings on those spirits from their forefathers. They're trying to raise up more high-powered witches for this season and Satanists. So I have good news and bad news for you. You have one of two choices. You can either burrow yourself under a rock and pretend like nothing's going on and you can stay stuck, or you can rise up in who Christ made you to be and become one lethal warrior against witchcraft. And that's where God's trying to take you into in this hour. But this is all very, very real. And so then God showed me this, that not only have we Josephs been fighting to get free from witchcraft on a personal level, this is the kicker, that now God was fixing to use us as leaders to fight witchcraft on an international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level to set an entire nation free. That's the way your vessels are fixing to be used. See, the enemy saw the potential. He could only guess. He doesn't know your future, but he saw the potential on you. Lord, I take authority over any of the witchcraft coming at me right now. Father, I strike it down in any way, shape, or form. If God didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. Lamentations 3, 37 through 38. Colossians 2, 14. Let it all just fall to the ground. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We bless their head, their hands, their feet, and their mouth. So, obviously, they don't like me telling you this message, by the way. And it's not just the witches and Satanists praying, because they don't pray. It's actually fake Christians. So anyway, it's people that are, we're going to get to that in a second. Let me just stay on track. So that they're irrelevant. So let's stay on task. So on that topic, what's witchcraft hitting you with right now? What's witchcraft hitting you with right now? The Lord's been showing me, even today, we were in prayer today for about 3 hours. And I love it because, man, the presence of God gets really strong. And there was a strong resistance in the spirit towards intercessors. And it's still there right now. They're still trying to blanket us. Now, if you haven't figured something out too, because right now we're in, not only are we in the crux of C2, where we're heading into the ninth Av, which is April 30th through September 15th. But the ninth Av is in August this year. What's the ninth Av? That's the eye of the needle. That's the hardest day of the year for intercessors. It's also a time where everything, you have to get everything stripped off of you deliverance-wise that you can, so that you can accelerate up into the higher dimensions of God's heart and spirit. Those are the seven spirits of God that you're trying to move into. That's kingdom authority, kingdom power. But if you didn't do your part down here, then you can't expect God to accelerate you up here. It won't happen. And so where we're at right now, as a nation in the natural, I've just told you what's going on by the spirit, but in the natural, then we have high-level witches and Satanists in government hammering down and trying to maintain their positioning because they're losing their foothold. The globalists are losing their foothold. And thank God. Thank God. So they're losing their foothold. So it thanks be to God, to all the intercessors who are mature and seasoned out there, who are praying and know how to use the courts of heaven, because you're being used by God to bring this apparatus down, all the globalist structures down. And you need to keep focused and stay focused on that. Keep bringing their structures down. But what is the spirit of Hecate? This is what the spirit of Hecate is. Hecate is being used against the body of intercessors. But what does it do? Well, first of all, if you remember all the true prophets, those who we know as true prophets, the true prophets, and I won't say their names. You should know the true prophets by now. I listen to all of them. There's some huge false ones out there you need to be really careful about. But because I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. But yeah, there are false prophets, Balaam's prophets out there, one in particular. But yeah, big time. Nasty, nasty Jezebels and Ahabs. But they're releasing a lot of witchcraft on their words, because that's how that spirit of Jezebel operates on a vessel. That's what Jezebel is, the front runner for the Antichrist spirit. I told you guys, I've been talking to you guys about this over and over again. Where Elijah's the front runner for Jesus Christ. Okay. Jezebel's the front runner for the Antichrist. Elijah's the front runner for Jesus Christ. So Josephs are being raised up right now in the mantle of Elijah, with the mantle of Elijah, but a double portion. So then you've got Jezebel coming up on the scene, trying to make its way back into the highest office of the land, on the highest platform, so that it can pervert and pollute as many people as possible through its own spirit of bitterness. And so you've got to be really careful about getting around people like that, because that spirit spreads itself through its own bitterness of soul. How does it spread itself? Through its words. By even dialoguing, every time you spend time with them and every time you listen to them, you don't even know it, but you get that click, that glitch in your spirit, like, I don't know if I should be listening to this person. Listen to your gut. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You're probably right. Most likely often are. So anyway, you should know it by this point, who the true prophets are and who are not. Okay? You should be seasoned enough to know that. Well, what the witches are doing, the witches and Satanists are doing, is they're coming in and they're releasing a spirit of Hecate, H-E-K-A-T-E, who is the goddess of magic. Okay? Hecate used to order the prophecies for evil. It produces evil prophecies against leaders and the people, the true remnant of God. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about that. Because the past three nights, I've had to confront this evil spirit. And I didn't know what I was dealing with, and God finally showed me today. But it's this demon. But what's it doing to you? Because if you're operating in the courtrooms of heaven, you need to go in and put restraining orders against it, okay? But Hecate, you need to be praying for protection over America, over white hat leaders, because it uses the demonic abilities The witches and Satanists used the demonic abilities of Hecate to get them into misokinesis, which gives it evil authority or absolute control over magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. And the magic is actually highest during the nighttime. So you really need to be adding this to your prayers and binding this demon and binding up the lesser light of the moon. It's going to be especially high on a full moon. Okay? And you know what? I wonder if I have that. I might. I hope I do. I want to see. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. My EA made this for me. You know what? I'm trying to figure out to March. Let me see. June. Okay, so interesting. Okay, so today is the 21st. It's the feast day for them, the day of summer solstice. And they get in what the witches and Satanists do on this day, start binding up the power behind sex magic, human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, orgies, but it's definitely within innocent blood sacrifices and sex magic. So you're going to want to be binding this because they're going to be using this type of magic. That was interesting. I wouldn't have thought to bring that up. Usually I don't. Let me take that down so I don't get distracted. That's the first way it works, by the way. The second way, in way that you need to be binding this thing, you need to be binding all, and you can go back and replay this if you want. To get what everything, I'm fixing to say this really fast, so just go back and replay it and get what I'm saying. But go back and bind their fivefold giftings, all monitoring spirit's eyes, satellite eyes, their pineal gland, the eye of Horus, Ra, R-A-H, all third eyes, and all reflective devices. Bind up the Black Hat military, as well as spiritual mask that they use with remote viewing. Bind it. Break it off. Break it off of its ability to connect to you, your mind, will, and emotions. Have you ever felt like someone was looking over your shoulder? That's what remote viewing is through witchcraft. That's the way to connect to you spiritually, to see and hear what you're thinking spiritually. They see through your eyes. They hear what you hear. That's how the enemy can thwart your prayers, by the way. As crazy as that sounds. I'll get into that in another conversation. But bind that stuff. Break it off. Break off all unholy watchers. Scrying and peeping bowls, demonic gates and altars inside and out, ingredients nullified. Bind up Jezebel and Jezebelian intercessors, their eunuchs, fake Christian prayers, the fake Christian words, demonic ancestors, LHSs, the demons on the inside and the outside of these people, all mediums, demonic oracles, seers, all types of demonic intermediaries, sorcerers and sorceresses. I'm going to say witches and Satanists on all levels. You need to say it like that. On all levels. They move up through the spirit. You move from faith to faith and glory to glory. Well, they move up from evil to evil. Shapeshifters. Santa Maria spiritualists. And all of their abilities as well as their those altars of fire. They mix it, because it gives them psychic abilities. It enhances their fivefold giftings. They call it psychic abilities. And all evil manifestations from those conjuring it, its protective abilities, used with flint, magical spells, laws, layered, structured, written, spoken, frontwards or backwards, decreed or chanted, mixed with the Bible, the Hebrew Torah, and Kabbalah, all in one, because of the codes, the laws, the limitations perverted with magic. Is that not enough for you? That's what they do. That's how entrenched this mess is in our nation. That's how entrenched it is. So you need to be binding it on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level, inside and outside of time, against America, against its clocks, past, present, and future. And then the ways that you need to be binding, the ways that Hecate controls prophecy, or the words of the prophets and true intercessors, front runners, their words and decrees, because she's the mistress of the three witches. That's what they call her. And that she, what happened with that is that supposedly the story is behind it. She got angry with witches because they interacted with Macbeth. conjured a prophecy without her knowledge and consent because she demands to control and set the course for prophecy, but she's not the god of the universe. Okay, that's a demon. This is a demon I'm talking to you about. You need to bind it, bind its ability to hold back the true prophet's words over America so the word can go forth and rise up into the third heavens and accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. So this is what's going on as we move towards the eye of the needle, the ninth of Av. Okay? I'm just giving you a lot of high-level intercession. That's high-level intercession. If that blew your mind, well, this is my world. Sorry. This is what I deal with every day, all day. So anyway, okay, so we're moving towards the eye of the needle, the ninth of Av. So, hey, Stacy, good afternoon, man. It's good to see everybody. So the pressure for some of you will only increase, and that's going to be because you haven't gotten enough deliverance yet. If you're under high pressure, you need to get deliverance. Okay, you need to get some deliverance on your vessel. If it's bittersweet for you, if it's been manageable for you, praise God. That means you're moving up through the heart of God. You're moving through C1, C2. You're crossing over, hopefully making your way into C3, into the higher dimensions of God's spirit right now. I think I showed you a little bit about that. And I'm going to be putting up some stuff on the board here Friday. Friday's going to be an interesting talk because we're getting to know a lot of different angels right now, the holy angels of God, and how to move through the heart of God with them. And so, praise God, I hope that's working. Can you guys still hear me over there? Really got a bad keyframe. Hear me? So anyway, it'll pick up here in a second. There it goes. Praise God. Okay, there it goes. I didn't want to start without it continuing to go. So anyway, so if you're under pressure, you need to stay prayed up so the pressure won't be that bad. Okay? In order to progress through the spirit, you're going to most definitely have to press through the witchcraft. That's our new enemy. Well, it's not really even new. It's old. But it's becoming very strong, or has become very strong over the nation, which is why they've infiltrated all seven mountains with it. So you're going to have to learn how to break it off. You're going to have to learn how to deal with this stuff in the courts of heaven. Because witchcraft is the new tool of the enemy being used against the body of Christ, and it's multifaceted. It can be layered, structured, written, or spoken, which is another reason you need to learn to use the courts. Okay? Okay, so let's move on. Let's get into the topic. We're about 23 minutes in. We're doing good. 2 Kings 1, 1 through 2 Kings 2, 25. Who was Elijah? Who are you? Who was Elijah and who are you? The past 3 days, the Lord has been talking to me about Elijah. And if you know anything about Elijah, you know God sent him to speak to Ahab amongst the many things that he did. He actually contended with his wife Jezebel predominantly. He was always dealing with Jezebel, which is another demon we're dealing with in this hour. Hey, good afternoon. So Elijah was sent in. The Lord was talking about this the last couple of days. Lord asked me, he goes, do you know why I sent Elijah in to talk to Ahab? And I was like, only you know, Lord. And he goes, I sent him in twice to speak to Ahab. And Elijah went in to tell Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And then he brought him back in to tell him it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And then he comes back in and he says, it's going to rain now. He tells him when it's going to rain. And the Lord said, I wanted him to know. The reason why I sent in the prophet is because I wanted him to know that I was the only Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that I would always have the last say in every matter. That's what the Lord was saying. So this is interesting about where we're at right now as a body, because God is raising up a group of intercessors and front runners right now who operate in a Joseph double portion with the mantle of Elijah, who are coming in, and God's going to say what he's going to say. He's going to have his say. He's going to have his say through the true prophets of the day, and all the false prophets, their words can fall to the ground with Lamentations 3:37-38, from today back to Adam and Eve. I decree that now. So you want to know why? Because God's also trying to prove to the body who's God and who's not. And is that messing up on there? I'll have to transfer it over from my Facebook page. I'm going to continue on. So Elijah was a prophet with a nature like ours, but he was also a man of God. He was guided by the Lord, and so he was always in the know because he listened to God. He was always obeying the Lord. And he did the Lord's will, and he learned how to stand up against huge obstacles, primarily Jezebel. That was his main focus point. You can be a man, and matter of fact, let me tell you this too, because he always did what God told him to do. He didn't circumvent the truth. He didn't do things as according to what was right in his own eyes. He was a man after God's own heart. He was truly a man of integrity. And you can be a man, a woman of God with integrity, but do you, or you can think you're a man, a woman of God with integrity, but do you know what integrity really is? Because I can speak Christianese to you all day long, but if you lack the basic understanding of who love is, then nothing I say is going to help you. Because integrity is wanting what is good and pure and righteous. Not through self-righteousness or religion or Jezebel or a wrong perception of who you think God is versus who he says he is. But through what God says is right, not what man says is right. You know, and I think in this hour, it may not be very, very hip or very cool to stand up for what's right. But God is having the standard bearer stand up. And it's all about what you do when you're challenged with what's right or doing what's right in the hidden places, even when everybody around you doesn't agree or when the pressure's on. And I know that sounds like a cliche thing to say, but it's everything, and it has everything to do with your ability to move higher into the spirit, because as we move higher, the road's going to narrow. That's to be expected. As you get closer to the truth, as you get closer to love, as you get closer to Christ, the road always narrows. So God's watching and he's listening and he's allowing the testing to come forward to see what spirit you're going to be guided by. And the enemy of your, is it going to be the enemy or your flesh? Or are you going to be guided by him and doing what God's called you to do? Let me move this back over. There you go. So it's important for this hour that we follow and do what God's telling us to do, even when it's hard, because the days we now live in are only going to get more difficult as we begin to stand up in the truth, because not everybody wants to know the truth. Haven't you noticed that? The truth, they're holding back the truth in every way, shape, and form. They're trying to hinder the truth from coming forward, which has really stifled and frustrated society. Nobody seems to ever want to speak in the truth anymore or walk in the truth, even in the church, which is absolutely appalling to me. It's appalling to me. So even the church has gotten infiltrated by the world right now. So what are you going to do when God's called you to stand up? Because nobody seems to know what integrity is anymore. Which is why God's using the Josephs as standard bearers, so that others would see the ancient pathways, hopefully back into his heart. But after Ahab's death, it was interesting because a new king arose. Elijah's still on the scene. He hadn't left and gone anywhere. But this new king's name was Ahaziah, and he fell through some lattices. So instead of calling out to the God of Israel, he actually sent out for the false god of Beelzebub, which is Satan. We know that to be Satan, right? So he turned to the occult in his quest to find power. But Elijah met him on the pathway and chastised the king for not turning to the God of Israel. He chastised him and called him out. Kind of like God's calling the Satanists and the witches is out right now. But like Ahab, who always ran after his flesh and did what was right in his own eyes, King Ahaziah followed suit, living life through his own weaknesses, always seeking power from the wrong God. How many of you find people around you that seem to always seek out the power from the wrong God? They seem to be connecting to the wrong God. Always praying witchcraft prayers, always doing what's right in their own eyes. Always getting on the wrong pathway and wondering why life doesn't go well for them. Because they refuse to humble and submit themselves to a power greater than themselves. They think they're serving God all the while. They're one of these people that are going to find out at the end of their life when they say, "Lord, Lord," and he's going to say, "Get away from me. I didn't know you. You never practiced my law. You never practiced my ways. You workers of iniquity, you evildoers. Go read the passage. Read it for yourself. It's exactly what it says. You workers of lawlessness. You show up in heaven. Excuse me, you show up in the courts. Well, in heaven, maybe not yet. You show up in the courts of heaven. And then they manipulate the word of God to suit their own purpose by using it for evil when God's a good and pure God. Which is why God won't endue them with more power, because they abuse what little they have. And God's all about people submitting to a power greater than themselves and only saying and praying what they hear their father saying. Not what you want to come to pass, but what he wants to come to pass, even if you disagree. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. And we have so many people, so many dysfunctional people now, because of the way this witchcraft has permeated society. And that was a strategy, by the way. It was the strategy of the enemy. To completely convolute and pollute the truth and pollute the church where people never would really truly walk and become aligned with a holy God. The enemy's trying to stop revival. Have you picked up on that yet? We're heading for revival. Have you been listening to the prophets? Because if you have, then you know the enemy's trying to stop it. This is his way of trying to stop it. So, you need to also know if you do this, though, that God will always meet you on your pathway to warn you before impending judgment shows up. Because it's those hidden choices of our lives that get God's attention. We think he's not listening. We think he's not paying attention. He's listening. Trust me. He's watching every move you're making. And all the while, he's just letting it all stack up. But eventually, grace wears out. You exhaust his grace. And so these hidden places that we refuse to deal with are the places that we allow to house other gods in our life are the places that God is dealing with. Hidden places that are manipulative and controlling, like Jezebel, or the hidden places like Ahab. Is it really? Can you pray about it? Can you hear me still? I'm going to repost the Facebook one. They don't like what I'm saying, so I'm going to repost a different one. I've got a better video. It'll be fine. I'm going to post the Facebook one. It'll be clearer. So anyway, let me just tell you what I'm doing right now. So what the Lord is doing in you right now is he's watching and he's listening and allowing the testing to come forward to see which spirit you're going to be guided by. And he's trying to see who's going to choose the ancient pathways back to him. Okay? That's what God's trying to find out, to see what you're going to choose. He's testing hearts. We're in a testing season. Remember I told you C2 was a testing season. If you know anything about C2, it's all about strange fire versus Holy Ghost fire. And the Holy Ghost fire is stronger than strange fire, but it's all a battle of the mind. Perfect. Thank you, Yvonne. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So it's all a battle of the mind during C2. It's to train you to develop the mind of Christ, to believe God despite what you feel, despite what you sense or don't sense about God, despite what you see or don't see. You're believing God and taking him at his word. You're praying and decreeing the word. You're taking him at his word no matter what. That's the whole testing of C2. That's what gets you through the eye of the needle. You keep believing and decreeing and decreeing and decreeing and decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing. That's what keeps you moving forward. So God's meeting the people on the pathway and he's putting all of his sheep through a testing. And the Elijahs are being sent out, because Elijah was sent out to warn this evil king, by the way. And he warned him before going after a foreign god, because King Ahaziah, whatever his name is, Ahaziah. He'd fallen through some lattices and he wanted to know if he was going to live longer. And Elijah said, no, you're not actually. You're gonna die because you went after a foreign god. And so during these times of testing, I'm just telling you, you want to make sure you're doing and saying and praying exactly what God's telling you to do, say, and pray. It's that imperative. Okay? It's that imperative. So the Elijahs are being sent out in this hour because God's determined to get his people free from all the witchcraft that has been released. And in this hour, you have to comply in order to come higher. You have to get free. We've got leaders operating in witchcraft by doing what's right in their own eyes, which influences the sheep they lead. And then we've got it on all seven mountains. The enemy's gotten entrenched. And unless you get cleaned up, you stay stuck and imprisoned as God's people. That's what's going on. You're staying stuck. And you're letting the enemy keep you stuck if you're choosing to stay there. So, I may have to re-record this to get it clear. I'll see how it comes out. Are you seeing everything okay, Yvonne, on Facebook? We've got a lot of witchcraft coming at us right now. We may need to get some intercessors back on top of that and just bless them back in a nice way. Okay, so in order for a vessel to come up, you've got to get cleaned up. You've got to get cleaned up. So the Josephs are now carrying the mantle of Elijah. Lord says, you're carrying the double anointing so that God's people can see clearly the way in which they're to walk. That's why he's doubled you with double light. So this is why your walk has been so difficult. But just like God anointed you with the double, the enemy's hijacked many vessels supposed to be serving God, but now they've chosen witchcraft. So they've got double vessels as well. Okay. So this new group of frontrunners now are carrying a hefty double portion anointing of love. The Elijah mantle, but our Josephs, through the gift of love. Is it really? Really? I may have to go out and I'll just make another video and I'll repost it so it's really, really clear. It's okay. No worries. I'll stay on because I want to finish what I started. So it's just the fake Christians and the occult trying to mess it up today. Don't worry about it. Just pray in the spirit. I'm going to resubmit it. It'll be clear. So don't worry about it. Just stay if you want to hear the message live. So anyway, Paul, this is the deal with Paul. As we move to Acts 13:42, and this is key for even for this conversation right now. Paul never flinched against difficulty. He never backed off. He never let fake Christians, he never let evil people stop him from his mandate. He didn't. He just addressed them in the spirit through prayer. But he was a staunch apostle. And he never ran from trouble, but he lived out his faith in trusting God and he hit trouble right between the eyes. He faced it head on. I'm glad. Thank you so much. So, it's funny to me because I was raised by two parents who taught me never to run away from trouble. How many people do you find that don't want to deal with issues? They're like, no, don't rock the boat. We have it in church. We've got it everywhere. Don't rock the boat. Don't confront that. Now, I'm going to tell you the opposite. I'm going to tell you exactly the opposite because we're dealing with so many bozos right now. I mean, seriously, I don't care. But you need to be taking the bull by the horns and you need to be hitting it right between the eyes with prayer and you need to be getting over it and getting on with it. You don't ever sweep things under the rug. And matter of fact, I feel like had the church been dealing with these issues all along, we wouldn't have half these issues that we're dealing with in society. But everybody's got this little scared little sheeple syndrome where they're afraid to deal with these problematic Jezebels instead of kicking that thing out of the church and forcing it to get delivered because they're after people's pocketbooks. Your money means more to some of these leaders than your deliverance. So this is a big deal in this hour. So God's saying confrontation isn't bad. Confrontation of trouble actually heads the devil off at the pass and shuts him down every time. And when you've got issues that you don't want to deal with, running away from them is not going to solve your problem. Ever. So, facing them head on will. And facing hard issues build integrity for those hidden moments when you think it doesn't matter. Because God, it matters to God. It definitely matters to God. Truth matters. Doing what's right matters. Having integrity matters. You get angry at people for speaking the truth to you. Some of you do. And some of these fake Christians get really angry. That's why they're where they're at. That's why their lives suck. But if they don't get it cleaned up, then they have the end of their life to look forward to, which means it's not going to be spent with the Lord. Lord, Lord, oh, depart from me. I don't know you. So you choose now. You can pay it now. It's like a speeding ticket. You can pay now or you can pay later, but either way, you're going to pay. And matter of fact, your whole life, and I've seen this all around me with people who choose to do things their own way, I've seen it all around me with these people live these lives and they have terrible lives. They've had terrible lives. And so then they get angry and they blame people who come in and speak the truth to them, actually trying to help them to get into a better positioning with the Lord so that things go well for them. And so that's not my problem, actually. That's not my choice. I can't make choices for people. You can't make choices for people. But don't ever run away from it when you're confronted with it, with the truth and telling people the truth. So facing problems head on was an issue that Paul actually ran into. And he never ran away from difficult people. Not ever. He knew that the crowds were fickle. People are fickle. I've been thinking this for the last couple months, how fickle the body is. Fickle, up one day, down the next. Because they're stuck in their flesh. They're stuck in their flesh. They're not choosing to come higher. But when you're stuck in your flesh and let your emotions drive you, or you're driven by your own immaturity, then life's not going to go well for you. You're going to deal with people at that level or that age that you're acting at, which is doing what's right in your own eyes. And it's probably what's kept you operating in these cursings all these years instead of allowing you to get free, because you're doing things your way instead of God's way. But the remnant, if you're going to be a part of the remnant, you're going to have to stand up and exert all kingdom power, the double, which will only land on those with integrity. Paul knew this. And so he also knew that God would just take him to another place. If people rejected him, he would just take him to another place. Dust your sandals off. Just go to another place where people want to hear the truth. God's not going to waste his time on people who don't want to do things his way. He'll just go to another people group who do. And he'll bless them instead of you. But you can stay stuck in all your doo-doo. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. It's like he just lets you stay stuck. And so God is all about kingdom in this hour. And if you're not about participating with him, then you're not probably going to receive it. Everybody else around you will. But then don't come to him crying and belly aching when things don't go well for you, and bawling and squalling and saying, "Why is God letting this happen to me?" God didn't let anything happen to you. You chose the devil, not him. He was trying to get you free, but you've opened yourself and kept all your gates open because you refused to get delivered and you kept doing things your own way. And then now you're bawling and squalling saying, "Why is God letting this happen to me?" No, you chose. You chose to stay there. Don't blame him for something you chose to do. And so, you know, no, don't be into condemnation, Sylvia Cole. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What he's trying to do through these conversations, he's trying to do a hard, right, realign. He's trying to get people out of their flesh and back into love. And I know my words sometimes are kind of hard to swallow, but I'm only saying what he's saying because he's got me telling these truths to the body to get them to wake up. So although he's saying there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, the Lord's saying, when I was a child, I acted as a child. But now that I become a man or woman of God, I put away all childlike ways. See, there's a time to grow up and there's a time to show up. There's a time to start becoming who Christ called you to be. You can't stay 15 forever. You can't. You won't be able to cope with reality. You won't be able to cope with things in the spirit. We have a lot of people in the body that are stuck in places of trauma that they've experienced at younger ages. They've never gotten healing for it. It's completely overtaken a lot of their lives and affected their relationships. It continues to hold them back. And so God is all about getting people into maturity these days. He's coming back for a mature bride. Remember? So in Paul's day, let's go back to Paul. Paul dealt with religious people who were extremely jealous. They knew he was anointed, but the problem, which is why they were always trying to sabotage him, but they slandered him because they had the mentality, if I can't have it, then neither can you. And when Paul was only, his only motive was to get the message of salvation to the Jews, and when they wouldn't receive it, he said, well, if you're going to forfeit your gift of salvation, then I'll just take it to the Gentiles. I'll go to the Gentiles and do it. And I'll take it to whoever wants to hear the message of love. I'll do it. But y'all are going to know something else about love. The one thing about love is that sometimes love will get tough on you when we refuse to course correct And you don't want to get to that place. And this is, I think, where a lot of the body's heading right now. And it scares them. That's why they get angry at me for saying these things. But it scares them because anger, actually, you have to ask people when they get angry, what are you really afraid of? Because anger is a symptom of fear. The root of anger is fear. So I ask everybody, every time they get really ticked off at me, I'm like, what are you afraid of? That I may be right? That I'm hitting some push button issues with you? That I'm hitting you with the truth and that you don't want to deal with the truth? What are you afraid of? You're afraid you're wrong? Chances are you are if you're bucking the truth, because God's trying to take you somewhere. And so in this hour now, we've got God trying to get the body into maturity and deliverance so that she can rise up in kingdom power. And the Lord is frustrated. I feel like he's frustrated because he sees the level of frustration in the body, and he's trying to get the message to us. He's trying to get the message to a lot of these immature people. But they're kicking and screaming at the pricks. They're like kicking and screaming, throwing tantrums. If I don't get in my way, I'm not going to play. And they're acting like immature titty babies. And God's like, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to start owning your stuff. When are you going to own your stuff? So that I can actually draw you up in higher places. I could tell you stories of things I've experienced with people like this. So anyway, it's not always easy. But it's better to let God deal with these people like Paul did, because he sure will. He definitely will. And in this hour, the Lord is saying, if people don't receive my truth, then I'm telling my true prophets to shake the dust off their feet and move on to the next town so they can keep moving with my spirit to get my truth to the people who want to listen. This is how important this is. He's not wasting his time. The cloud is moving whether you are or not. He's a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, but it's moving on with or without you. And so I think people, when you tell them we need to deal with these issues, people are like, oh, I don't want to deal with this stuff in my life. I don't want to go back and relive certain things. Well, it's holding you back now. It's still controlling your life now. So now is as good a time as ever to get free instead of always living in the past. And letting these past issues control and dominate you. You don't think things are bugging you, but if things aren't going well for you, something's controlling you from your past. Which takes us to Psalms 139, 1 through 24, and it's talking about faithfulness to God. If you're faithful to the Lord, the Psalm's going to encourage you. But if you're hiding from the Lord, then it's actually going to serve to show that we're fighting a losing battle. Because God knows what we do. Because he knows us personally and intimately. And he's saying, quit trying to fool me, because I'm a wise and loving father, and I know how to get you free and into the devil. The testings of Paul come to show us what's inside of us, to see how we handle difficult people and difficult situations. If you're not handling difficulty and stress very, very well, then God's here to set you free. He's here to show you and cause that rising of all that mess to the surface during this C2 season. Because he's all about the double portion. And if you know anything about the double portion, it comes not by running from hardships, but instead learning to run into the fire with the fire of God, so that we can become the Josephs with the double portion of Elijah. And so the Lord's saying, accept what you are, right where you are. Accept your flaws. Accept the fact you're never going to be perfect. I am. The Lord is the only true and living God. He's the only perfect God. He will always be the perfect God. We will never be him. But he's also trying to get us back to a place of humility, I believe, in understanding who's God and who's not. So, Lord's saying, accept what you are and accept how I use you as your God's gift. Lord says, I'm presenting you as a gift to the world, but you're also a gift to me. And he's telling us to use our gifts wisely for him, because we're unique and he knows the way that he made us. He knows everything about us. He knows what we love. He knows what we enjoy. He knows how we enjoy serving and what drives us, dysfunctional or not. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about us. Preferably not the bad. Preferably you're not letting your dysfunction drive you. But those that truly love the Lord and hate evil, they're the ones that aren't afraid of confronting it. These are the ones he's going after. These are the ones that are standing in this hour. Even when the sparks fly. Iron sharpening iron. Dude, that's what we're for. We're called to be iron sharpening iron, right? Helping to raise each other up and hold each other accountable. We're putting God first in all things. Those are your friendships. You understand what putting God first means, right? You don't have yes men around you all the time. You don't just having people telling you what you want to hear, but it's people who tell you sometimes the hard things that you don't like about yourself. If your friends aren't like that, you're in a heap of trouble. I'm not lying. Because the world is ego-driven. God is not. In this hour, God is saying, you think you know me. And you think you know you. But you do not know your own heart as well as you think. It's why I'm drawing closer to help force all the hidden things rise to the surface. And the Lord's saying, let me search your heart. Let me lead you into the pathways of righteousness and healing so that I can unfold your destiny scroll and see you rise up to become all I ever meant for you to be. That's all he wants for you. He's not trying to take anything away from you except for the dysfunction. He's actually trying to make you a better version of you through him. But so many people are demanding to stay earthbound versus rising up in the spirit, and then they wonder why they have no power. They have no power to fight all the witchcraft that's hammering down on them right now. And it's only going to get stronger against you. So either you're going to stay stuck and you're going to stay there, or you're going to be about your father's business and you're going to start letting him set you free. Which leads me to Luke 8:17, where the Lord's saying, in this hour, where there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. We think we're hiding something from him. You're not hiding anything. All the things we do in secret, all the ways we behave, all the things we pray that are not aligned with kingdom. You're not hiding anything. Which leads me to Proverbs 17:19-21. Where it states that he loveth transgression that often... Excuse me, let me back up. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. He that begetteth a fool doeth it unto his own sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Did you get all that? Basically, to me that states this. A person that's always trying to sow strife, you're going to reap what you sow, first of all, but this is, he's exposing the iniquities of the heart that are in this type of person. And a person that's always trying to exalt himself is sowing destruction towards his own gate, towards his own life. You reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7. By your words you're acquitted, by your words you're condemned. Judge not lest you be judged. That's the first thing. But also Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow. And so if you're sowing destruction and you're always trying to create issues around you because of your dysfunction, you're going to reap that all your life. You're not going to step into wholeness and into healing and into fullness, the fullness that God wants to place by himself, by his own spirit, onto your vessel. He can't dwell where sin is. That's why he's trying to find a remnant who'll get cleaned up, Joseph, Elijah, where he can pour himself out and through you to minister to the world around you. And it's a good thing that you're saying that too, Susan Berger. That's a wonderful thing. That's transparency at its best, because God's looking for warm, loyal, loving, authentic people. And we think we're authentic a lot of the time, but we have this mask. A lot of people wear masks, and what you see in church is not always what you see in person. So are you who you say you are? That's my next question. Are you really who you say you are? Or just, are you somebody off camera as opposed to who you are on the camera? I can't help being, this is me. Good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm giving you it all. You can ask our people. And I love our people because they're very authentic. They're very down to earth. We're just here to love each other. That's all. But your version of love may not be my understanding of God. You know, my understanding of God is that he's warm, unconditionally loving, loyal, godly. He understands my flaws. He made me. And so I'm not going to be browbeat by somebody with a moral superiority complex, always trying to make me feel less than because I'm not as religious as they are. It's not my, I don't want to wear your armor saw. I don't want your brand of love. I want people who know who the king is, and I want people who love like he loves and who corrects people. They hold people accountable with the truth. That's the God I know. So anyway, I hope you're encouraged today. I'm Dr. Missy. I do these things on Tuesdays and Fridays. And I'm sorry for the glitches today. I may go back and redo it so it's really nice. You can see the graphics. I think I will. So anyway, I hope that you enjoyed the 50-Minute Rev. I do them on, again, Tuesdays and Fridays. You can join me on Friday. I usually try to do the compass, but it's just too much. I think that I'm giving you enough on these shows to hopefully it's helping you to track and know what's going on. But until I see you again, hope you have a blessed week. If you want to contact us at ezekielswill.org, or you can email us at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. And so I hope you know that he loves you. We love you. God wants you blessed. He wants you blessed. But in order to do that, you got to put the old self down and walk up into the new. And that's going to come through deliverance ministry and learning to become the person he wants us to be. So anyway, I love you guys. I look forward to seeing you then on Friday. But until then, have a blessed day. See you then. Bye-bye.